the Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
Go ahead and take care of business for me, for me, for me. Oh, Lord, don't keep me waiting. Be as firm as can be. Go ahead and take care of business for me, for me, for me.
Time for another edition of Business Matters on Siren Radio. We're delighted to actually welcome to the program a lady who basically is all about the delivery. She delivers in every stage of her particular performance. An international trade expert. She's travelled extensively. She's obviously the owner of Risa UK Limited. We say a hearty welcome to Sarah Hutchinson. How are you, Sarah?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here, Alex. Thank you.
Well, it's great to connect with your good self. So I suppose I have to ask the question, really, why did you decide to go into the freight travel industry business or delivery business? What was it that drew you there?
Well, it's more by accident than by design, I guess. I enjoyed sales and I wanted to get a full-time job in sales. And I, at the time, I mean, many of the younger people that's listening to this won't remember that in those days you applied for every job that was in the newspaper. And that's what I did, basically. Every job that was in the newspaper that was sales related. And the first company to offer me a full-time position in sales was a freight forwarder, actually based in Southampton. And that's what started my career.
Excellent. And obviously, you have owned Risa UK Limited for 19 years. So obviously, we could have run the Beatles. It was 20 years ago today, but that'll be for next year. Lots and lots of changes during that period. I mean, not least of which was that thing that happened around about 2016. Thanks to, I think, David Cameron and a few other sort of folk who were responsible for that, of course, which I presume at the time you might have thought, what the flip is going on?
It is, because for me, it's actually quite interesting, because when I first started in the freight industry in Southampton, I was responsible not only for the ocean freight port there, but also for two port offices, which was Portsmouth and Poole, which were road freight, the services in and out of Europe. And in those days, there were export and import customs clearances. So I've seen it from that perspective. The borders opened, so that it was borderless, which obviously was much better for trade. And now we've gone full circle back round again. And I think from a business perspective, we were still suffering the effects of Brexit. Businesses are finding it's gone from being the markets that businesses would tip their toe into if they, not dealt internationally before, because it was easier, and just to get a feel for that international trade. But now it's gone from being the easiest to one of the most difficult markets to now trade with.
Particularly intriguing. We were just awaiting some materials coming through from France recently, and yes, it seems to go round the robins in all sorts of ways, which was not the case. But let's not get political on this side of things
No.
at present, because we can go down a whole rabbit hole of material from that perspective. Is there such a thing as a typical Sarah Hutchinson day in the life, or is it a case of no, I have people to delegate that particular aspect for me now? I just kind of run RICER and it's all fine.
No, I mean, I have a team of people that work with me, and they're a very experienced team, which is great. So I do still get involved in the day-to-day, but I tend to get involved with orders that we're moving for clients that are more complicated and need more time and more focus. So I tend to, when they come in, I tend to get more involved in them. I'm still out and about a lot. My love of sales remains. I like to be out meeting people. I like to go out to factories, see what people are doing. You learn, and ultimately that helps me to help other people as well. So yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a profession where you're learning all of the time, because it's constantly changing. When you think of trade on a worldwide basis, which we do, air, ocean, and road, that all those different nuances in different countries, the changes in regulations, it might be port health, it might be plant, animal related, it document related, it's constantly changing.
Clearly, another thing that's changed over the last few decades has been the range of distribution and freight distribution companies and so on. I mean, for many years, people might, if they were feeling very exotic, have used FedEx to actually get from country to country. Royal Mail, obviously, was very much in the game, etc. We've had, some might say, the late unlamented Yodel, but that's another issue entirely. And don't get me started on Yodel. Other companies, of course, are available. And of course, we've got RISA, which clearly is a success, clearly thanks to your good self. What are the key aspects that when you are engaging with, obviously, freight delivery, because I mean, we're engaging in cyberspace at present. We know there's a lot of trade that goes on in cyberspace and so on, but there's still a physicality where people want their goods, they want their products, they need supply chains to actually work, etc. So, what, from your own perspective, is the key to success? Why does RISA succeed, whereas others perhaps aspire to succeed but maybe don't?
I lost you there, Alex. Sorry. Could you just repeat that
Of
question
course,
again, please?
what from your own perspective is the key to RISA's success in terms of why RISA succeeds, whereas perhaps others don't quite reach the same standard?
Right. Okay. I think for me, it's all about service, which ultimately was why I set up my business all those years ago. The transport generally is seen as the necessity, I suppose, which people can't avoid, that they have to use a transport company. And I suppose we're a little bit like the double glazing of the international world. We're not always seen as the best, and service levels are poor. People don't want to pay. And this year, particularly, we've seen price become a major focus. And what people forget is you get what you pay for. And if you've got staff that are having to sort out delays, problems, extra costs, they don't always get factored in to that export order or that purchase that you're making for an import from a supplier. And I think if there was more focus on the fact that great service, so you can get on and do what you want to do in your business and not have to worry about what's going on with the movement of your goods, there's more value to that. And some of those companies that you mentioned, service isn't their priority, but it is
Again,
ours.
precisely. I think that's very, very diplomatically phrased, Sarah. We've reached your first choice of music. It's an interesting one. It's a very seasonal one. And I believe it actually ties in with your daughter performing in a choir. We're not sadly going to be able to hear your daughter singing in this choir, but it will be an interesting version of O Holy Night. Any particular other reasons you'd like to share with us about this choice?
Yeah, my daughter, she sang for many years in St. Wolfram's choir at Grantham. And that festive period was always a lovely, lovely time. And hearing them sing this particular hymn was just absolutely amazing. So yes, that's why I have such a love of it.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long live the world in sin and their repining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Christ is the Lord.
We are speaking to Sarah Hutchinson, Managing Director of RISA UK, on this week's edition of Business Matters with, of course, Siren Radio. Sarah, I have to ask the question with respect to the name of the company, and this may or may not have had any bearing on your choice, but RISA, to any Trekker out there, Star Trek fan, shall we say, is the name of the vacation planet that Jean-Luc Picard goes to on a semi-regular basis, as indeed do many Ferengi. It's the RISA. You have all sorts of things there. Was that in your thoughts when you came up with RISA? Or was it a case, you know, were you thinking, yeah, we've got to get ahead of the game here, so let's call ourselves by a different intergalactic planet routine? Or is it just a happy coincidence that RISA exists in Star Trek The Next Generation and, of course, in our real world?
Do you know what? I really, really wish I could say absolutely. That is so much the reason. Actually, it's the two sets of initials. It is literally as simple as that. I mean, I do look back now and I think maybe I should have used my, you know, my own name or what have you. But yeah, no, I think I might change my story to yours because that's much better.
Exactly. You know, as we like to say, in many ways, it could be a 21st century company for the 24th century here and now. So there we are. Let's talk sustainability. That's something which clearly, in terms of the global economy, we can't ignore. Clearly, one of the costs when it comes to travel and freight is down to fuel costs and so on. Are plans in place to actually deal with that? Are you looking to kind of change the fuel usage and so on? Or is it a case of, well, things will work out in their own time?
Within the industry, there is a lot going on. If you look at ocean freight, over the last, oh gosh, probably 15 years now, the vessels are, they term it slow steaming, which basically means they slow down where you could get a 19-day transit from Hong Kong to the UK. You can't anymore now. It's a longer one. But that decision was made to preserve fuel usage and costs and everything else. So you could say that, you know, you've seen that industry sort of go backwards a little bit, but that's all on the cost and sustainability front. The airlines as well, because I think what you have to understand as well is that freight forwarders, we don't have our own ocean freight vessels. We don't fly our own aircraft. Most freight forwarders like ourselves, we buy space within those on aircraft and on the container vessels. So we're very much reliant on the carriers, the air freight and the ocean freight carriers, to do what's necessary. And we are seeing shifts for that without a doubt. And that has been going on for quite a few years. Road freight, of course, within these countries around the world, we rely on whatever the governments and the industries there are doing as well. Because, you know, it's hard for us to dictate what happens in America or China, India, what have you, because, of course, it's whatever they're striving to achieve as part of sustainability and the net zeros and all the rest of it. Different governments have different ideas. Europe. Again, we're seeing a lot of sustainability around packaging. That's a big thing. Germany, they've brought in regulations around even business to consumer, how your packaging is recycled and all of the rest of it. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. And, yeah, for businesses as well, it's just keeping up, I think, with what's going on.
You mentioned earlier you have a good core team of people who work with you with RISA and develop the whole process. The next buzzword, of course, is something else which frequently sends panic down many aspects of business, and those are the two letters A and I, artificial intelligence and such like. Is that something which you think, well, yeah, the one thing about RISA is we are human beings, goodness sakes, and we're not sort of handing over to the AI? Or is it a case of inevitably you're needing to actually incorporate elements of that to help the efficiency?
Right. We are absolutely about the human, 100%. Even before AI, sort of this year particularly, has just, it's exploded, yeah, hasn't it? We don't even have voicemail. When you phone us...
What, no call waiting?
Nothing.
Thank you. Thank the Lord.
Absolutely. I hate that. And that's, I know that's a strong word, but we've always been that if somebody phones us, one of us, you speak to a human always. And even out of hours, it diverts to one of our phones. So you will always speak to one of us. And that's really important to me because I think that's how relationships are built. And they're key in our industry. We pick up the phone and we know by voice our clients, and they know us by voice as well. And again, when you're talking values, that's a huge value for me. And it differentiates us as well from our competitors. The AI, where I see AI, I'm not a fan of it, but I realize we're going to have to embrace it. There's only one way this is going. And I see it as a time saver, and where we will use it will be around time saving within the business, but nothing that will affect our relationship and that accessibility to us from our client and suppliers' point of view.
We're coming around to the next choice of music, featuring the awesome saxophone playing of various musicians. And Hazel O'Connor, of course, known for, I think, Breaking Glass, if I recall, was another one of her hits back in the 1980s. This is Will You. Any reason for this, apart from just liking the saxophone break as well?
It's that musical part of it. I mean, it's pretty much 50% of this song, and I absolutely love it.
You drink your coffee and I sip my tea, and we're sitting here playing so cool, thinking what will be will be. It's getting kind of late now. Oh, I wonder if you'll stay now, stay now, stay now, stay now. Or will you just politely say goodnight? I move a little closer to you, not knowing quite what to do. Silly me.
And the joys of Hazel O'Connor there with Will You. We are speaking, as mentioned, to the Managing Director of RICER UK, that's Sarah Hutchinson. Sarah, how do you relax? I mean, you've just said, in essence, that you know you can always speak to a human being, calls diverted, etc. There's a 24/7 aspect within that. I mean, I think that's fantastic, and I think we're also seeing a bit of a pushback. I mean, the supermarket chain Booths, I think, have decided to get rid of their automated service tills, and who knows whether other supermarkets might actually follow that, because there's only so many frustrations you can take out on unexpected item found in baggage area. From your own perspective, do you kind of schedule in time out? Do you actually sort of protect your personal time quite solidly, or are you effectively such a conscientious individual, which I suspect you are, that actually you're always kind of connected with the RICER 24/7?
I mean, you're right. There is an element of that. It's never far away from me. And part of that is I actually really enjoy what I do. So it's not a chore for me from that perspective. I was lucky with my family when they were young. I was able to decide, because I own my own business, I was able to decide, like, if it was the Christmas play, sports day, even if I wanted to do the school run on certain days, I could pick and choose what I did. And that is obviously one of the benefits of owning your own business. We have an 18-month-old golden retriever, and I walk her every morning, very early in the morning, and we walk across fields, and just she loves it. And actually what I've found for me is it's really, really, from the mindset point of view, some of my best ideas in terms of what we're doing in the business, and maybe if we've got a challenge, how we're going to be able to overcome that, or as I'm walking through the field and the mud and all the rest of it with her and in the mornings. So yeah, there is certain family time and in my diary, so I can relax, if that's going to be
absolutely. Well, it's important to actually have downtime for ourselves as well as our AI friends as well. Even a computer needs to be rebooted every so often to keep itself going. Folk listening to this might be from a variety of experiences. There might be aspirational business people who are thinking, I want to be the next Sarah Hutchinson. Fantastic. Or we might have people who are sort of thinking, wow, how does she combine all those kinds of things, et cetera? What would be, in essence, your words of advice, words of wisdom to anybody who might, first of all, be thinking about setting up their own business, but hasn't quite got that courage to say, okay, I'm going to do it?
I took a view when I set up the business that I had an amount of money that I was prepared to invest in the business. And if I was able to take that money and make it work, then fantastic. But if I couldn't, then I would go and work for another freight forwarder and accept that I'd lost that money. So I do believe in the no regrets. And I can honestly say throughout my life, there is nothing that I look back on now and think, I wonder what would have happened if I'd done that. And I've lived my life by that. So I realized it has to be a calculated risk. At the time I set up my business, I knew a lot about international transport, and I traveled extensively and worked extensively overseas as well. So this wasn't just an idea and it, you know, is it a business idea or not? I knew it would work. So, you know, there was some calculated risk to that. And I think as well, you have to factor in, I mean, when I set up my business, 9/11 had just happened, and my business plan that I had was just thrown up into the air, because air freight, the plan for air freight was just wiped away because of the new security measures. So again, I think you can't always do what you've always done. It's learning to incorporate that change. And I know that the buzzword is pivot, but these last few years have shown that you've got to embrace change and, you know, take businesses off in different directions as those opportunities come.
As I was going to say, you've really had experience of, and indeed some might say thrived through the challenge or rising to the challenge of both, as you say, 9/11 when you launched. Presumably the financial crises was not helpful in 2007, 2008. Brexit, of course, we've already spoken about in terms of 2016 and subsequent years. And of course, that little thing which I notice is still on your website, COVID-19, which had a bit of an impact, certainly in terms of the industry. So, I mean, are there moments where you think, what on earth is going on here? What's the next one we have to overcome? Or is it a case of, yeah, bring it on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't like to say that there are any positives from COVID because, you know, what
Zoom.
an
Zoom is a
awful.
positive. What are we doing now? We would have had to have invited you into the
Yeah.
studio, whereas we've actually been able to negotiate around. So we've kept our carbon footprint down to a minimum. So that's my line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's what I would say. I'm a bit of a dinosaur, and digital wasn't majorly incorporated into my business. I like paper. I like to write things down, but hey, you know, that's probably my age comes out from that. But yeah, I mean, COVID, what it has done, it has digitally transformed our business. And I would say for the better at the end of the day. So as difficult as it was, it's definitely helped the business move forward over the last few years. But yeah, these, I would probably say the last 5 to 6 years have been probably the toughest that we've seen within our business, but also across, because we work across multiple different industries. And seeing our clients when we speak to them, we know that they're all suffering similar problems. And so it's an economic situation that's affecting business.
Businesses obviously have lifespans. They grow, they develop, they flower. Sometimes they become almost part of the furniture. But the other thing we've seen over the years is that businesses can be acquired, they can be taken over, they can be adjusted. I mean, this is a hypothetical, but we mentioned FedEx, for instance. What would your response be? What would the company's response be if FedEx said, you know, we really like what you're doing, Rise? Or let's say Amazon. You know, Amazon said, we really like what you're doing. We'd like to buy you out. Here's several billion pounds. Can we have you, please?
Gosh.
I mean, who knows? I'm not sure whether Jeff Bezos actually tunes in regularly to this lot, but if he does, he might be thinking about it. He
You never know.
he's actually stepped aside from the Amazon company.
I might be getting the call, eh? Funnily enough, it's the opposite almost. We're in a point of high growth at the minute, and we're looking at okay, do we do that organically, or do we potentially look at buying another freight forwarder? I'm definitely not ready to hang up my freight forwarding hat. In fact, I'm in the process at the minute of setting up a separate training and consultancy business, which is all around helping businesses who import and export, but it's practical stuff around the fact that if you don't have a dedicated logistics person or team, and it's a bolt on to someone's job. So actually, I'd say it's more about us expanding as opposed to thinking that, you know,
So,
we might sell and yeah, leave.
any plans of going and becoming a public limited company or sort of offering shares, etc.? Is that a case of where we might hold fire on that one?
No, not at the minute. Not at the minute. I'm just keen to say it's exciting. It's a real exciting time for us looking at setting up this separate business. So yeah, it's
And I think
great.
it's to your credit in terms of what you're doing, how you're doing, etc., for all the reasons we've discussed. Clearly, Siren Radio is based at the University of Lincoln. We have an awful lot of students, 19,000, I think, at last count, and some of whom actually go into business, some of whom don't. What would you look for in an undergraduate or indeed a graduate who is actually seeking perhaps some work with RISA or actually wishes to commit to the freight forwarding business? What are the characteristics that actually mark people out? Is it a case of, well, as long as they're very good on TikTok, that's all we need? Or is it something completely different?
I think it's all about hard work. Somebody that's prepared to come in and work hard and almost start from the bottom, which is where I, that's where I started. I mean, I went to Lincoln College and I got myself a business qualification from there. And as a result of that, I did day release as part of the course that I did. And the company that I joined when I left college was the company that I went on day release to. So I think, and I know that's because I worked hard and I got noticed because of what I did. And I just don't believe there is any substitute for hard work. You reap the rewards of that. So for any students, I think having that open mind to go in and learn from the ground upwards, to really sort of immerse yourself into everything that's going on in that business, to try and understand it. And the key here as well is to apply what you've learned at university to a real business situation. And that can be quite difficult to come from the academic side. And it's like, okay, how are we going to apply that? You know, we have had within the businesses, within the business apprenticeships. We actually do work with Lincoln University. I'm working with several of the students there at the moment. So I know the importance of engaging with that young blood to come through the business. But yeah, just that hard work and just absolutely immersing yourself is so important.
Of course, as you said, you're a former student yourself. You were part, I believe, of the Help to Grow scheme that was run by the business school.
Yes.
Hindsight, was that beneficial? Did you feel it was useful, or did you feel, well, I don't know, it was an interesting experience, but in terms of applicability, jury may still be out?
No, actually, the thought that concerned me when we signed up for the Help to Grow, and we were the first cohort that went through, or on the first cohort, my concern was that it would be very academic and the lecturers wouldn't necessarily have worked within industry and applied the teachings. And it just wasn't that way. It absolutely fantastic. And to any businesses that are listening to this interview, I would absolutely recommend that you look at the Help to Grow and go through Lincoln University. So we're working with the Sprout Business School now. I've been invited whether I would like to be a guest lecturer on some of your logistics degrees, and it has completely opened up. So we've got a couple of students doing a couple of projects for us. The benefit to us has been phenomenal, and I would totally recommend it.
We have another 80s classic for your third and penultimate choice of music on the programme today, Sarah. It's the Communards, of course. Don't Leave Me This Way. Would you like to just share your rationale for this one?
Oh, I do like a good party, and I think this is one of those records that gets everybody on the dance floor, so that's why I've picked this one.
Leave me this way.
Moving on, we've talked about advice, we've talked about experiences, we've talked about challenges, we've talked about a variety of other things, including technology and so on. This is a standard question that we tend to use. If you could actually go back in time to the dance floor of the 1980s, what advice would you give to the young Sarah Hutchinson there, who's just been boogieing to the communards? What would your thoughts be, or what would you say in terms of, you know, let's look 40 years from now, what sort of things should you bear in mind?
I think there's always a little bit of imposter syndrome. And I think, little old me, I can't believe, you know, here I am and been in business for all these years and loving what I'm doing. So I think there's certainly some imposter syndrome. But I think, you know what, don't have any regrets. I did say it a little earlier, just think about... Yeah, the pros and cons of everything, but don't look back and think, oh, I wonder if, what would have happened if, and just go out there and enjoy it. And again, I pick up on the work hard. I don't think there's any substitute for not working hard. And I've been, you could say incredibly lucky, but you could also say that through
create your own luck.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's it. You know, most of the jobs that I've had have been because I've been approached. I haven't had to apply. I applied for that first one, but after that, all the rest of the jobs that I secured were because I was approached and asked to join those businesses. So, yeah, and have fun as well. I mean, I say I love what I do. So, don't do something that you don't enjoy because you spend a lot of years working. So enjoy every moment of it.
RISA UK is clearly a success. What would you say if you got the call to maybe enter politics? Would that be something that you actually appeal? Because we often hear that with respect to our political agencies, and I'm not looking for any particular party endorsement in any way, shape or form here, but oftentimes there's an out of touch sense in terms of the career politicians that we seem to have been experiencing over the last few years. So people might have had a classical education, but in terms of actually organising their own business, it's been somewhat limited. Any thoughts on that? Would that be something you might consider? Or is it a case of, no, I prefer to actually steer well away from that?
I'm not sure I'm drawn out for politics because I do believe in saying what I believe to be true and I don't shy away
from it. Because obviously there was a fairly famous politician that actually came from Grantham that actually polarised a few people in her own way, of course.
Absolutely. Love her or hate her, eh? I mean, I do tend to say what I feel, and I don't think sometimes that would go down terribly well in politics. I also feel that from a business perspective, that the right people aren't always in the job with business experience and to understand. So I do feel there needs to be more of a business presence in those departments, and the chopping and changing of politicians in these various roles
doesn't provide consistency, does it? Doesn't provide consistency.
No, I think that's key. Unless someone's doing a terrible, terrible job, but then you sort of think, well, surely they should be well qualified enough to have got that job in the first place.
Or maybe they'll just end up going to a reality TV show in an Australian jungle somewhere, but that's perhaps another line entirely. In terms of the web presence, RISAUK.com, is that the best place to actually locate the wonderful company RISA if people are interested in finding out more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. There's quite a lot of information on there. And in fact, we're updating it at the minute, so it will look more up to date come the new year. So, yes.
The other aspect is, does the company, does it employ social media? Does it look at Instagram, at TikTok, at the various channels? Or is the case there? No, we still prefer the human experience.
I'm very active on LinkedIn, which is, as I view it anyway, the main business-to-business platform. By my name, it is, so it's Sarah without the H, so spelt Sarah. But yeah, again, any business people that are listening who are involved in international trade in any way, every week I put out multiple posts on useful information to help businesses who export and import. So yeah, do connect with me.
Well, it's been awesome connecting with you, good self, today, Sarah. We've got a final track that we're leaving with, which I gather is dedicated to your husband, basically. It's the Stereophonics and Dakota. Was that the sole reason, or is it a case of, well, you got one in for the daughter, so you need to have one in for the husband as well?
Oh, bless him. You know, I have to thank him for loving me and putting up with me, because I know I'm quite a handful at times. So, for David, I have to, this is his favourite. So absolutely, this is for him.
Well, go out for that. But we've got two final questions that we need to put to you. They're fairly standard. Some might say the toughest ones of all, but still. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on this, your debut on Business Matters?
Yeah, do you know what? I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I really, really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Genuine pleasure. Therefore, the next question is, can we look forward to featuring you again on one of our other shows, or indeed again on Business Matters in the near future? Will you be kind enough to return?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Anything I can do to help, I'd love it. Thank you.
Sarah Hutchison, Managing Director of Writer UK. By the way, it is Sarah. I haven't been mispronouncing this all this time, and it's not been Zara, really.
It's spelt Sarah, but yeah. Said Sarah, yes. Yeah.
Just wanted to clarify that, otherwise it'd be all over the place. But for the moment, Sarah Hutchison, huge thanks. And may the roads your freight travels on always be effortless.
Bless you. Thank you so much, Alex. Thank you.
take a look at me now. So 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 take a look at me now.